Welcome to the Kaiju Podcast. I'm Ralph.
I'm Jorge.
And today we are talking about Frankenstein Conquers the World.
A.K.A. Frankenstein versus Baragon. A.K.A. Frankenstein against the subterranean monster.
Okay, first of all, I'm glad it's called Frankenstein Conquers the World, because I did not know that Baragon was in this movie before watching it.
Great.
And was fired up. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to...
1965.
Okay. So, I have to do that thing. Yeah. So as we mentioned last episode, we kind of wanted to watch this because I felt like it was a requirement, because what we really want to watch is War of the Gargantuas. And this is the movie that came before it. So I'm like, let's just get through this one and then we can get to War of Gargantua sooner.
Right.
For me, this breaks the top five.
I love this movie.
I'm spoiling this right now. This movie was awesome.
Oh, it's good. I'm glad, because I was like, this totally breaks my top five. And I was like, and I'm looking at it because I know how much you like Godzilla versus King Ghidorah. I was like, oh.
It's already, what has it been, 2 weeks since that one?
Yeah.
Okay, so hold on. I'm going to get into this now because I'm going to go, this is what's happening. I need to go down the full top five list.
Right now.
You
want to start with this?
No, well, what I'm saying is, I don't think it's just going to knock down Godzilla versus King Ghidorah.
No, it's not. It's not. I have a spot for it myself.
Oh, okay, cool. All right, so let's get into it, because...
Okay. Okay, just starting it up and seeing Nick Adams' name come up in the opening credits, I was super excited. And then I maybe kind of go down a little Nick Adams rabbit hole, and he's got a few credits for these kind of movies. So, you know, the fact that, we get to see him again, and it's not going to be the last that we're going to see him, was awesome.
Yeah. I don't even know where to start. So first of all, okay.
At first there's a lot of white people at the beginning.
Okay. My first note is, guys, it's actually Frankenstein's monster's heart.
Yes.
Yes.
I love calling the monster Frankenstein for the people who that bothers.
Yeah. Did you ever see that picture online where it was the Mary Shelley book, but after the last paragraph, someone clearly wrote in pen, it says, "Oh, and also, I don't mind if you refer to the monster as Frankenstein."
Well, the best, that's great, because actually in The Bride of Frankenstein, my favorite part in The Bride of Frankenstein actually, aside from the moment, the end is good. It ends abruptly. They reveal her and then ends. There's a part where Frankenstein is complaining, and he's like basically talking about how, like, you know, that he's that monster, that whatever, and that they even go so far as to refer to it as and then he gets cut off.
Uh-huh.
But you kind of knew that that's why he was like, he hates the fact that they call that monster Frankenstein. That also bothered him.
Yeah.
And it was very kind of cool and meta, I think, a moment in that movie.
Yeah.
It was a little confusing as to who we were looking at the very beginning, because, you know, you see a guy who looks like a mad scientist in a laboratory, and you go like, oh, this is Dr. Frankenstein. Oh, it's kind of a, what is this, World War II Dr. Frankenstein? That's curious. Mm-hmm. But it turns out that it isn't Dr. Frankenstein. That's a whole nother doctor. And he has his name, I believe, is Dr. Reisendorf.
Okay.
And then the Nazis break down the door and they come in. And I was like, wow, this is a really white cast for a Toho movie. There's no dialogue in this opening sequence.
No.
With the Germans and the scientists and their kind of confrontation as to, like, them, they're taking away the container that has Frankenstein's heart.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, it's kind of like a ballet almost, you know, it was like this kind of like dance piece of like pantomimes and things. But the map was in Japanese.
Yeah. And then it said Germany in big letters over it.
Yeah.
Which made me laugh because I like, that's the one thing I did understand at the beginning. Very that funny moment
when after they take it, he tries to stop them one last time, but like they put a gun on him or something like that. And he just kind of ends up giving him the key.
Yeah.
Thought that was pretty funny. And then we immediately get into awesome model work.
Yes.
Submarine models getting bombed and set on fire. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, wait a minute. Did the Japanese bomb a German sub? I didn't understand what was going on. Like who was bombing who in that?
I feel like it was American bomber.
Bombing them.
They were meeting up. And they were passing along the heart.
Right.
From one to the other.
The box with the heart.
Yeah.
Just sitting there and the heart's moving. It's amazing in a very hokey way because the top is completely sealed off. Like what looks like would be whatever, a ventricle, like a whatever is like the vena cava or aorta section is just a rubber heart. It's like a Halloween CVS prop heart.
Yeah. I'll talk about Frankenstein's hand later too.
Oh, it's fantastic!
It reminded me of the mechanical hand where the middle finger kind of just rotates.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
So much, so great. It's a great. This whole opening sequence is so great, and Takashi Shimura comes on.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh sweet, this guy's in it. He's there for just what. 30 just that seconds.
Opening scene, yeah.
Yeah, because, and then bombed, and then August 6, 1945.
Yeah.
So good. So I was like, boom, now we got a movie. It's a great, great setup.
Yeah. I don't understand it. Did the heart turn into a boy?
Yeah.
Okay. The heart turned into a boy. Okay, and then...
okay so. So
and then yeah, 15 so years later, it decided Japanese... to.
No, the heart didn't turn into a boy yet. What?
Okay, go ahead.
Did it? No, it didn't. So, okay, so they have Frankenstein's heart, and Takashi Shimura is gonna like they're gonna do tests and stuff on it because they're going to study its properties because the heart doesn't die.
Yeah.
And then the lab gets bombed during the Hiroshima and Nagasaki bombings. Yep. And then we pick up 15 years later. Mm-hmm. And there's still, you know, after effects from the bombing. And Nick Adams is a doctor who's helping these women with dealing with whatever symptoms they have. He has a moment where he says, take it easy, girls. I'll see you later. He has this bit where he talks about he's looking on the bright side of the fact that these bombings happens there. He's like, well, at least we can study them. Mm-hmm. And then, kind of out of nowhere, we cut to a bunch of school kids running into a classroom and finding a dead rabbit.
Yeah, but we find out that there's something going around just eating animals.
Right.
But the rabbit just looked tore up.
Right, and so they kind of lose him, and they're like, oh, you kind of get a glimpse of him, and it's great. It's a Japanese kid with a Frankenstein forehead, which is great. And it's like the whole set of caves where he can poke his head out, and then he pokes out. It's like this whole array of different caves and tunnels that he can go through it, and they climb up there, and she climbs up there with her purse. To go find this kid because they found the kid. Yeah, she kind of sounds like, oh, that looks like a boy when they like spotted him like in the street. And so they catch him and they bring him and they're looking at him and it's they say he's distinctly Caucasian.
Definitely Caucasian.
Yeah, it's like and he's not Caucasian. But, no,
they make it a real point, like, and I don't know why.
Like, and the other guy goes, maybe he's half caste. And he goes, nope, he's distinctly Caucasian. Yeah. Why they make a point? Because it's not a Caucasian actor playing him. I think they make a point to be like, listen, this guy's Caucasian, okay? Good. Now that we've settled that, let's continue. So from here on in, Frankenstein is Caucasian.
Okay.
Sure. That's basically, I think that's what they're like. I was like, okay, if you say so. I was already along for the ride.
Yeah.
So the kid is basically, yes, the Iranian at heart, all grown up.
Maybe because he's supposed to be German?
Well,
and he didn't look German, so they had to tell us?
They're like, yeah, that's basically what that was. They're like, okay. Well, he's Caucasian.
Clearly.
Yes.
There's no denying it.
Okay, I meant the oil fields destruction.
Okay.
The model work in this movie is so good.
It's really good.
It is so amazing. And so the oil fields get destroyed. Out comes a monster.
It's
Baragon. I didn't recognize him as Baragon at the beginning.
I recognized him as Baragon. And
I didn't see his ears flop out. I just saw it looked like a lizard with a unicorn horn.
I was so excited because I had no idea what this movie was about. It's called Frankenstein Conquers the World, but it didn't, you know, usually with a title like that, you don't, it would say like, you know, Frankenstein versus something.
Right.
So I didn't know there was a versus in here. And I guess you said there was another title called Frankenstein versus Baragon or meets Baragon or whatever.
But this is Baragon's first appearance.
Yeah. And that's another thing that I figured out while the movie was going. I was like, wait. So I looked it up. Yeah. And this is his first appearance. I was very, very excited.
Yeah, I was like, when he showed up, I was like, well, I guess he's going to need someone to fight, so might as well put another monster in this.
And I'm a big fan of Baragon.
Yeah.
Like I said, as we've been going through these shows, I've come to appreciate the crawling kaiju.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. Baragon's great in this. Yeah, it's great. Frankenstein, there's like the TV's on, and it's like a rock and roll show on TV. Uh-huh. And then as soon as someone screams in the rock and roll way, he goes crazy, throws the tree.
Yes. And he grabs the TV and he chucks it out the window, which made me laugh.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure in 65. Yeah, I'm sure TVs
might have been cheap. 66 in America.
And
they were heavy.
Yeah, which shows his strength. But then Nick Adams does something that made me kind of mad. He hits Frankenstein over the back of the head with a chair. Which I was like, there's got to be a better way to calm him down. He just immediately goes to hitting him with a chair. The treatment of Frankenstein is questionable.
Yeah, what's the name of the other scientist?
I don't remember their names.
Kawaji. Right. Oh, yeah. So Kawaji meets with it's supposed to be, I think, an older Dr. Reisendorf.
Okay.
Who he's like, oh yeah, you know, the heart that wouldn't die, blah blah. And he's the one who tells him, if you really want to find out this kid's Frankenstein, you should cut off his arms and legs.
Is that the dude that looked like Dick Van Dyke in Mary Poppins?
Yeah.
He looked like the banker, Mr.
I think they're trying to make him look older than he looked at the beginning of the movie, but they kind of just made him browner.
Yeah, he sounded like Scrooge McDuck.
Oh, he does.
And which made me like look up to see the voice actors in IMDb, but I didn't really recognize anybody.
Yeah, no. And then he says, not only if you cut off his arms and legs will they grow back, but the cut off bits will also remain alive.
Yeah, which they do.
Fantastic.
So it makes Frankenstein unstoppable.
Yeah.
Like if you were to get it. And it seems like the hand grows back pretty quickly. Frankenstein is growing rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why it took 15 years before he started growing, but whatever. But he has the chains are getting too big for his wrists.
Yeah, and they're digging in.
Yeah, they have that makeup effect of it's like just on his wrist is like all wonky. Like the makeup effects, I don't know. They look sort of halfway done,
Cheap. Yeah.
but because of
Same
it,
thing
it
with
looks really awesome.
Yeah, sometimes the forehead looks like it separates from the guy's face a little bit
Yeah.
too.
And then the neck, it looks like it's almost peeling off the neck, but it almost makes it look grosser.
And I was like, oh, that's a good way to, that handles the cutting off of the hand. They don't actually have to chop off a kid's hand.
Yeah. But I guess
Just
with Frankenstein,
popped
he should
off.
have sort of skin hanging off. And then he had like just kind of patches of hair in different spots.
Right, but this is weird because like this is not, yeah, it's not a Frankenstein that was built from dead bodies. This is generated from the heart.
Oh, yeah, huh?
So this is a new Frankenstein,
Yeah.
a fresh one.
When
There's a
they're
part
looking
where
into the
he,
cage of
yes,
Frankenstein, they keep saying he's growing, but
yeah,
there's never a shot of them showing until like the end of the scene. And
yeah.
then that shot is awesome.
The yeah, and then like it also trying to deal with trying to make the clothes look like they're getting smaller, but he could still button his pants.
Yeah.
He kind of they kind of gave him like the 80s Incredible Hulk treatment. It's like, oh, it just kind of becomes shorts. Because I wrote, hang on, his clothes grew, and I wrote in parentheses, I mean, I'm glad they did,
Yeah.
but. There's a part where they describe him. He's not like a human, really. He's more like a gorilla when they're talking about that, what they can to do the tests on him and stuff, I think. And the guy's got this giant syringe full of like a yellow pea-like liquid.
Yeah.
So then he breaks out of the cage. I like there's the guys that are dead in the wrecked cage, and they're sitting there with their eyes open, dead. And I was like, oh, that's good. That's kind of adds extra creepiness to
And
it.
then Nick Adams says, grab the fire extinguishers and blind him.
Yeah.
Which later on, someone else wants to blind Frankenstein as their, main way to deal with him. And then Nick Adams gets mad. So, I don't know. They really wanted to go after his eyes,
Yeah.
his Caucasian eyes. And then they didn't. But he got mad. Okay. So, this is something that I didn't know I would like so much. The fact that the monster in this movie is just a giant guy.
Yeah.
I like big rubber suits,
Yeah.
but seeing just a guy walking around in the models made me appreciate the models more.
The models were so good. Yeah.
Because you can see the
Well,
scale with at which they had to work, but then also
yes.
you realize the limitations of rubber suits.
Oh, yeah.
Because the fighting and the moving around in the models, he could really get around in the models without constantly bumping into stuff.
And the fights were fast.
Oh.
Like when he's fighting Baragon, I mean, it's a little bit too early to get to, but
Yeah.
he's jumping all over the place,
Yeah.
jumping around him. He's got gusto, and yeah, a guy in a suit couldn't get that
Yeah.
much movement.
And then speaking of models, there's a couple shots in this scene where these two model police cars are driving
I
up the street
love them.
and then they
They have
crash.
little guys in them.
There's for no reason. For no reason these were model shots. But they just went for it. They're just
Yeah,
like, oh, we're just gonna show
right.
model cars
Because they
crash.
show them going down the street
Yeah.
and then doing the turn. Yeah, it's so good.
Like Frankenstein doesn't pick them up or anything. They're just
No.
shots that you could do with real cars, but
I also like the composite shot where Frankenstein goes to the window where Sueko is, and it's just him, like his big head in her in the window. There's like a little blue outline you could tell it was like a blue screen thing. But I just it's very kind of like in the original King Kong when he's like on the side of the
Oh
building
yeah.
and looking in the windows.
Yeah. And then
Crawling hand.
his one missing tooth.
Yeah. Oh, the big gap in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The crawling hand.
Crawling hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, they they're the when they lost it and they're like, where? The hand's missing, and then they're like, "Oh, it was in like the grate. Somehow it got in the
Was trying to
grate
like
underneath."
escape or something.
But where did it lift the grate up to get in there? And then, but it was dead by the time they found it. So then they go to Okayama. Okay, so Frankenstein covers a lot of ground.
He's hungry.
And
he's like constantly hungry.
There's like a moment to show that we're in Okayama now. There's a statue they show, mm-hmm. and it's like a boy with like a monkey and a dog. Did you see that?
I didn't notice it.
So I was like, "What is this?" Because this is clearly a real landmark, and uh-huh. I was like, oh. "And then this is a statue of this is like a folk character called the Momotaro." It's about a story about it's a child that was born out of a peach. So there's the statue really exists. This is the statue in Okayama of this child born of the peach. I actually saw a thing like after I was like, oh, this is the kid from the peach story. It's like an old couple who never had kids, and then they end up getting this kid that was born out of a peach, and he does make friends with the monkey. And
okay.
So,
yeah, I see the statue.
Anyways, I was like going, "Oh, that's cool. I was like, I know that's gonna be a real thing. That's something that's kind of like when they show like the Leaning Tower, you know where you are, uh-huh. or when they show the Eiffel Tower, you know where you are, or any of those like landmark things. I go, I bet you that's a thing that tells us where we are. So yeah. I have to look up that thing. The party boat shows up. I was like, oh, this party boat is doomed. But
it looked that model.
It was big.
It was huge.
It was too big for Frankenstein to destroy.
Yeah.
So he was just like, oh, I'm just going to kind of push it a little bit and then sink back in the water.
Like Apocalypse Now.
I was like, oh, this is fantastic. I was like, Frankenstein isn't big enough yet. Like, he's still growing, but he's not quite there yet.
Uh-huh. I love that boat.
Is this like... the next time we see him when he's out of the water, when he's got the skins on. Oh no.
I think so.
No, not yet.
Is that where he's
not
throwing yet. The tree at the birds?
That comes later. Yeah. The skin stuff comes later. Yeah. But as soon as the boat showed up, cause I was like, oh, this is going to be like that other party boat that got messed up.
Oh my gosh. The amount of fake animals in this movie, like little miniature model, the fake boar and the fake horses. Boar.
Oh yeah. Fantastic. He makes a trap to catch the boar puppet,
uh-huh.
and ends up catching a tank instead.
Yeah, that was a good payoff. I thought that was really funny.
Him throwing the trees to destroy that house, fantastic.
Uh-huh.
There was that moment where they kind of gave up on chasing Frankenstein to be like, well, this is before they discovered that the hand was gone. They're like, well, we still have that hand to play with, so mm-hmm. it'll be fine. We must go. We still have his hand, so, you know.
Refers to him as Frankenstein, except for when she talks to Frankenstein. She calls him boy.
Yeah.
Like it's almost like they're being mean behind his back.
He doesn't know his name is Frankenstein.
I know.
Baragon breaks up the party.
Yeah. That little village was cool too.
I loved. Yeah, it goes. There's a series of cuts which I loved in the Baragon attacking that village. It was like Baragon cut to pigs, cut to chickens, then cut to Baragon with feathers in his mouth.
Yeah,
Baragon. Fantastic. And then he's coming up on that horse puppet.
The horse puppet.
And then the kids that come home from school and there's nobody around. Oh, yeah, no, he's still dressed because I wrote his clothes are getting skimpier, but he can still button his pants. So he hasn't gone to the fursuit yet. And they're like, I wish we could get another piece of his body so we could keep experimenting.
Yeah.
So Baragon, in the premise of this movie, he comes out at night,
mm-hmm.
specifically.
Yeah.
But there is the day scene, which they then explain, yeah, but it was like real foggy that day, so... It was good enough. And they clearly abandoned the premise of him being a night thing.
Yeah.
Because like when...
Well, in this movie, unlike the rest of Baragon's appearances, I don't believe his horn lights up in other movies.
I don't think so either.
Yeah. So, yeah, they must have abandoned that altogether. But I like that his horn lit up.
Yeah. There's a part where they're in that like dinosaur museum place and they got those really great old school T-Rex.
Uh-huh.
pose where he's like super tall with little, like he's where like his tail's dragging.
Yeah,
I love those old T-Rex art. There's a part where Sueko goes, "Do you think he'd remember me, Doctor?" And then there's something about movies. I don't know if it's specifically Toho movies. I've probably seen more 60s Toho movies than American 60s movies, but wearing a suit to do everything.
Uh-huh.
Like, there are, like, a lot of hiking in suits in this movie.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So then Kawaji is showing off these grenades.
the gas ones.
I got these grenades. It's great. Check this out. He throws it and ends up basically summoning Baragon.
Yeah. He threw it down a hole where Baragon was. That's where he said he was going to try to blind Frankenstein with those bombs, and Nick Adams was like, you can't do that. And it's like, you just tried like 10 minutes ago to blind him with fire extinguisher.
Yeah, this is the moment when Kawaji kind of takes the turn where you go like, oh, he's not so much for just the study of science.
Yeah.
He wants to destroy him too.
And then he falls on the cliff ledge, and he's a tiny puppet.
Yes.
Oh, that's one of my favorite things in these movies is when they have tiny puppet people.
Dolls.
And this one was good because he was moving his legs and arms. And even when Frankenstein picked him up, his legs and arms were moving.
Yeah. And the way he was, when Frankenstein's holding it. So this is where we go, okay, Frankenstein is a good guy, you know?
Yeah.
He's trying to protect the people. Maybe just Sueko, but who knows? Maybe it's everybody. Well, he is, because he picks up the guy's body to go take the body to him.
Yeah.
So he's, you know, Frankenstein on some levels is still, in a sense, humans or for humans, or he, you know, he's on the human side. So he's protecting the humans from Baragon.
Yeah.
There's a moment. So, okay, do we remember Baragon's breath?
I don't remember him shooting fire breath. I'm trying to remember. Did he shoot out of his horn? Look it up.
Like it's like a red beam.
I don't see a lot of it. I don't know if that power goes into other movies. Huh. Yeah, I don't know.
Abilities. He can fire a flame ray from his mouth.
Okay.
It's like a weaker version of Godzilla's spiral heat ray. And the horn of his snout occasionally glows and crackles.
Occasionally. Subterranean reptile. Nicknames: God of the Earth, Baragon, and Baragon Kun. Apparently there's a sea Baragon.
A different Baragon? Like he's different. Like he's
Oh, it's in a comic.
Oh, there is.
Yeah. He looks like he has like a narwhal horn and then like tusks.
All right, so he's got a ray that comes out of his mouth.
Yeah.
At first, the ray doesn't seem to phase Frankenstein at all. Later he starts...
feeling it.
Yeah. But it did seem like Kawaji kind of like fell. His falling into the pit or down the hill thing seemed kind of random at first. Like, I was like, what? We don't see anything. Like, he didn't trip. We don't know why he did it.
Yeah.
But... the Frankenstein fight against Baragon. Baragon is jumping and flips, and he's throwing the Baragon doll all around. It is a lot. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, the fight's amazing. And sometimes it's like sped up, and it makes it look like Frankenstein has like super agile speed abilities.
Right. Also, Frankenstein has a hairy back.
Yeah.
You didn't get to see it until you wore the fursuit. Yeah. But they definitely put hair on his back. There's Frankenstein shoves a rock into Baragon's mouth. Yeah, there's a lot. Like this fight's a little super fast. This Baragon's kind of cute.
Yeah, he's a little dopey looking. He moves his eyes like Gamera back and forth.
This is then where... by the way, Baragon was played by... Haruo Nakajima, yeah. Which I was like, great, because it is great monster costume work. And this is where my one problem with the movie shows up.
Okay.
Frankenstein's use of fire.
Yeah, I had a question about that. Because everybody knows fire bad.
Fire bad. And so, yeah, I don't know, because this is a new generation Frankenstein or whatever, maybe. But I like Frankenstein not liking fire. It's such an iconic part of Frankenstein. In fact, I get so annoyed whenever I see images of Frankenstein with fire. There was like that Christmas, there's a commercial for something. I think it's for like Apple or some product. And it shows Frankenstein sitting by a fireplace in his house. And I was like, oh, come on. In what world? Or there's a lot of people people make like birthday cards or like birthday things for people. And it's like Frankenstein holding like a birthday cake that's in flames. It's like, what? Yeah. So that I was like, oops. Come on. No one looked at that.
Yeah.
No. But what I also loved is Baragon keeps getting thrown around by Frankenstein. Because basically, Frankenstein pretty much had the upper hand this whole fight.
Yeah.
It seemed like it. Every time Baragon would land after being thrown or tossed, he would shoot a little bit of that red ray out of his mouth. It was kind of like, oof, like it's almost like he pee a little bit. It's like when he lands, he can't quite get control. And there's tons of picking him up and spinning him around. Eventually, Frankenstein kills him with kind of like a wrestling sleeper hold. Mm-hmm. Kind of like chokes him out. That's how he ends up killing him. And he celebrates and raises his fists and sinks into the ground.
Yeah.
The end. Man, okay. And then it ends with Nick Adams being like, well, he may be better off now. He couldn't live in this world.
Yeah. Alternate ending?
There's two.
Oh, I only saw... Wait.
There is... I don't know. Maybe it's unofficial. Maybe it's just someone doing something. But there is also a version where he throws the rock at Baragon. Baragon sinks into the ground. And we don't see him sink. Which is kind of like... it's like if you go to YouTube, you'd be like... You can be like... Frankenstein Conquers the World, like happy ending or alternate happy ending or whatever it is that.
Okay.
Like they just don't cut back to Frankenstein. You don't see, they just kind of continue and I don't think they have to put the thing that it's good that he's gone either. I think that part isn't in it too. But I don't know where that was used. I don't know exactly what, where that came from. But then there's another one.
Yeah. This one out of left field.
Out of nowhere, an octopus shows up. Oh, this is like the second octopus movie in a row. And this, well, first of all, I'm very glad that it's a puppet costume.
It looked cool coming down the rocks.
It was good. It was well achieved. The story was that the American backers of the film loved the giant octopus scenes in King Kong vs. Godzilla, that they wanted a giant octopus scene in this one.
Which is fine, but it's a weird place to put it.
The American version. Yeah. But then when they saw it, they said it felt it was too abrupt and rejected it. And so it wasn't part of the ending. However, apparently, the giant octopus would go on to appear in War of the Gargantuas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
So, yeah. Man. It's so great. One, everything was new about this movie.
Yeah.
Didn't see any of it.
All surprising.
Yeah. And then, so good. There's just something about this era, this window of time of these Toho movies that are just so enjoyable.
Yeah. They're really strange, but somehow... makes sense. I don't know.
I love it. It's like, yeah, anything that's wrong, anything that has faults, I love. And it's just so charming, like the details, that the stuff that you go like, man, they sweat over to do this, to solve this, to make these little puppets and toys and models and stuff. They did a lot of work to do these little things. And yes, we can see it. We can see the strings. We know what's happening.
Yeah.
But it is just so damn good and fun to watch.
Whew. So, here's the thing. Our top five, as of right now, is Rodan, Monster Zero, Godzilla vs. Mechagodzilla, Godzilla vs. Gigan, and then...
Godzilla vs. King Ghidorah.
King Ghidorah.
Okay.
King Ghidorah is...
I was gonna be like, on the count of three, let's shout what position you think it goes in.
Okay.
I wonder if we're in the same spot.
Okay.
Okay, so it's gonna go. So you're gonna. Okay, so it's gonna be one, two, three.
How about you say about it. Go. Hey, go. Ready, set, go. That way, you're not saying any like numbers.
Any numbers?
We say number. Yeah.
Okay, so it'd be it's gonna be ready, set, go, as if it was a one, two, and three, and you would say the number as to where the four would go.
Yeah.
Okay. Ready?
Yeah.
Ready? What? Oh, am I just doing it? Okay.
Yeah.
Ready, set, go. Three. Perfect. Man, we line up. Oh, good.
Cool.
Oh, good.
Cool.
That's where I put it. Yeah, I was like, basically, I kind of went down. So yeah. Godzilla vs. King Ghidorah, boom, out. Godzilla vs. Gigan, boom, out. Godzilla vs. Megazilla, boom, out. But it's getting a little shaky. Monster Zero, there's so many other monsters in the.
It's Godzilla.
Space people in it.
Monster Zero's our top Godzilla movie.
Holds three. Very strong.
So right now, as it stands, Rodan, Monster Zero, Frankenstein Conquers the World. Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla, then Godzilla versus Gigan.
You know, at some point when we get to the end of whatever, whatever the run of Kaiju Pod is, it's gonna be we're gonna have to basically rewatch our top five and see if like I wonder. Yeah, it's like if Rodan is fresher in our minds, where it's so high in our heads.
Yeah, but it was so good. The dragonflies crawling into its mouth.
Dogfights.
Yeah. So yeah, that's big. This is because when I finished watching it, I'm like, this goes in my top five. And then the more I thought about it, I was like, you know, it's not just number five.
No, it's not.
Yeah. So the top three movies. Rodan, Monster Zero, and this film are all Ishiro Honda.
Yeah.
I mean...
There's... He had the
magic. They're all 60s. All 60s Ishiro Honda. It's... Yeah.
We're going to have to... Yeah. It was like, before we actually started recording this, we were like going, you know, we probably should just go down the Ishiro Honda list, because there's things to discover... Yeah. There that we don't know because they were Godzilla movies.
Yeah, and then with Rodan and then this one, they're so good. Like it just makes me want to watch more. And then now I want us to watch more Nick Adams movies because he's in our top. He's twice in our top three.
Twice.
So, oh man, I loved it. I loved it. I'm actually I don't know if I'm more excited or less excited about War of the Gargantuas. Because, like, I'm afraid, like, maybe it'll be a letdown from this. I don't know. Because now War of the Gargantuas, I've built it up even more.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know. I think there's just from what, you know, yeah, a lot of people love War of the Gargantuas. And it's good. Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be good. It has to be good.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm so, yeah, when I was watching it, I was like, do I just like this because it's Frankenstein? But yeah, the fact that we were in line and both filled number three is pretty much spot on, perfect spot for it.
So, yeah,
yeah. These are the movies that's
huge. That's huge.
Yeah, yeah. It was. I was like, I was so excited after this movie was over. I was like, this is so great and it's so refreshing. And it didn't make me roll my eyes.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, now.
All right. I don't have much else to say about it. If for some reason you're listening to this and you didn't watch the movie, go watch the movie.
Yeah.
It's available to watch if you go to the big film list on our site at Kaiju Pod. It'll give you links to our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. But man alive, I'm glad this movie exists.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I didn't know anything about it going into it, because Baragon was a huge surprise that I was very excited about. It was like comforting.
I love the early monster designs, the way they put in also how like the eyes kind of like move from side to side and stuff. It's a great puppet.
Cool. Well, that's all I have. Our next episode. That's right.
Mm.
I was ready to go away, but we're going to be covering from, it's available on Netflix. It's called Godzilla Planet of the Monsters. It's an anime that came out this year or late last year. I'm not really sure. It says 2017, but I think that was in Japan, and then it came to American Netflix within 2018. Interested in watching it. I know nothing about it. So
we've gotten a lot of suggestions from people to check it out.
And then I've seen a lot of the figures on our Instagram page. Follow people who post that big, giant, chunky Godzilla.
Yeah.
So I'm interested in seeing that.
Super ripped Godzilla.
Yeah. So check that out. We'll be back in a couple weeks. And until next time, I'm going to go shove this party boat.
I'm going to sink into the ground.